If you would, turn to Psalm 118. I said that we'd be looking at this morning. Psalm 118. A couple weeks ago, we finished up our study on Elijah, and so that gives me an opportunity to pick some passages that I've been wanting to deal with. And so we're in a psalm this morning, a psalm of praise, Psalm 118. And I want to frame this message this morning in the context of repentance. When Jesus came, what were the first things he preached? What was the first thing he preached? Anyone remember? Repent, for the kingdom is near. And so his entire ministry was in the context of repentance. I am more and more convinced that everything that we should be doing as ministers of the Word should be leading people into further repentance, that transformation, spiritual growth, sanctification, all of that comes through daily repentance. And so we're looking at a psalm of praise, a song of praise this morning. We're dealing with this concept of worshiping the Lord Jesus, but I want to paint it in the filter of repentance. How does worship occur? I'm arguing this morning that worship is nothing more than repentance. It requires us to turn from something that we would rather stare at and turn to Him who is magnificent and beautiful and glory. We walk through these doors carrying lots of baggage. We walk through those doors often putting on a mask. You know, the burdens of this life are many. There is frustration, there is grief, there is sadness and depression and longing and misery and frustration and fear and anxiety. Right? And so we walk through these doors and we put on a mask. But church, we are a people, not an institution. We are a people saved by His grace, loved dearly by the Lord. This isn't a club. We come as we are. Jesus said His burden, His yoke is not a burden. It is light. We come in here as brothers and sisters to share those burdens. This morning, I want to talk about repentance. And I want us to be honest at the get-go. What are we struggling with? What are we afraid of? What are we frustrated with? What is it that we are laboring in? As we look at God's Word, may we find comfort, may we find strength, may we find courage to just be honest with Him and ultimately turn from those weights and turn to Him as the source of all life, as the source of all strength, and so on. The author of this psalm starts out with this call. It is a call to thankfulness. It is a call to thankfulness. Why? Because of the Lord's steadfast love. It is a call for you and I to turn from those things that are weighing us down and to turn to Him. The psalmist says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." Do you guys believe that the Lord is good? In spite of our grief, in spite of our questions, in spite of our frustrations, in spite of our hurts. The Lord is good, folks, because His steadfast love endures forever. This word, it's actually one word in the Hebrew, but the phrase steadfast love, it's one word, it's hesed. It refers to God's covenantal love, His special love for His people. The Gentiles for the Old Testament, they didn't experience His steadfast love, only the Israelites. For Christians today in the New Covenant, we experience His steadfast love, His father-daughter love, this adopted love, this agape love that He's given us. The rest of the world does not experience it, but we as His people, we as His children, enjoy this special love. Oh, give thanks. People, give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because this special love has been given to us. Let Israel say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His steadfast love endures forever. And then let all those who fear the Lord say, His steadfast love endures forever. In the Old Testament, it was just for Israelites. Mediated through the house of Aaron and the priests. And then in that day and age, Gentiles could come in to the covenantal community, but they still had to wait four generations before they could go into the actual temple court. Because of Christ, though, you and I can be in this third category of all of those who fear the Lord receive this steadfast love of His. And so it is a call to give thanks in spite of our misery, in spite of our suffering, in spite of our fears, in spite of our depression, to give thanks to the Lord because His love endures forever, folks. This week, it's been hard for me. Last couple weeks, as some of you know, I've been struggling with a lot of back pain, a lot of issues. 2 years now, and it's just kind of intensified in the last couple months. And, three or four weeks ago, I was sitting in this back room for the prayer meeting on Thursdays. If y'all don't come, come. 11 o'clock on Thursday. There's your plug. But there are about seven of us, and we go through this list, and we pray for all these people with issues. You know, I had been having pain, you know, but before we catch up with one another, and we got all these people who are dealing with stuff, you know, surgery, grief, surgery, children who have gone wayward, you know, and so we catch up on how we're doing as a prayer team, but then we spend an hour praying through that list that you receive every Monday. And as I was walking out, I was just thinking about how, yeah, I'm in pain, but it could be worse, right? And I remember talking with Jerry out in the parking lot, and he was telling me his horror stories about his back issues that I think you had to endure for like 15 months. Am I right on that? And so Jerry's talking about how he had to travel back and forth to work. Carol had to drive him, and he had his feet up in the air in the back seat, going to work, because that's the only way he could get to work. And then he would stand all day with his computer on top of a filing cabinet for 15 months. And then I'm sitting here thinking, who am I to complain? And so that afternoon in my car, I had to go out right after the prayer meeting. I had a moment with the Lord, a moment of worship, where I just broke down into incredible worship. Why? Because I repented. Because in that moment, in God's kindness, I realized, I confessed that all this complaining, why? I could have it worse. But God loves me. And God has blessed me in so many other ways. And to turn from focusing on that, and to turn to Him in worship, repentance. Well, the interesting thing, later that day, I had no pain. The Lord took it away. And then He gave it back to me a couple days later. And Saturday, the following Saturday, I came down with sciatica. And so I would rather have the back pain than the sciatica. I can't sleep. I've been averaging about 5 hours a night. I just wake up with excruciating, throbbing, radiating pain from my butt all the way down to my toes. Feels like a Charlie horse is just everywhere. And so I have to get up and I have to walk for about 30, 40 minutes. And then I have to try to ice it. And then I have to try to get to bed again. So I've been dealing with that for the last 2 weeks, and I'm in my, many of you know I teach at Grand Canyon one class, and so I'm teaching this class, you know, and I'm walking in tired, cranky, tired and cranky. And I end up having a conversation with one of my students. You know, this student has a disability. Day one, he comes in the room with a dog. And, you know, they tell the professors, don't ask, you know, let the student volunteer. So I'm like, okay. Well, I kid you not, I've gone through 10 weeks of class with this student thinking that that dog was like a, you know, emotional support dog. 10 weeks I've gone through this class thinking that he had this dog as an emotional support thing. Well, it turns out he has no vision in one eye. He has a false eye. And in the other eye, he has 9% vision. 10 weeks go by. I didn't even know this. The guy's blind. You know, he has a phone, and I've seen his eye was a little off, so maybe that was, you know, I don't know, maybe an additional thing. And so he holds the phone up like this sometimes, and so I'm just thinking, okay, he has bad vision too, and maybe that's why he needs the, but 9% in one eye, that's all he's got. And I am like, okay, confession time again, Lord, I'm sorry. What do I have to complain about? But this guy spends 10 weeks portraying joy to me. 10 weeks, all I've known of this kid is just a joyful, bubbling spirit. Where does that come from, folks? Guess where it comes from? The joy of the Lord, the steadfast love of the Lord, of making a choice. As hard as it is, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not getting any sleep and he's not seeing anything. But to choose to no longer stare at that and to make myself miserable over that and to turn to Jesus, to turn to the Lord. Folks, worship is a choice. It's a choice of what you're going to worship, what you're going to give your heart to, what you're going to devote your time and your energy and your money to, yes, but also where are you going to put your desires? In whose hands? Let those who fear the Lord say, His steadfast love endures forever. James 1:2 says, count it all what? Joy. My brothers and sisters, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Pray for my back, but guys, guess what? The Lord wants me to have this pain right now. Pray for me. I want your prayers. I want to be over this. I'd rather have my leg chopped off. That's a joke. But at the same time, the Lord has willed me to suffer in this. Why? You know, I have lots of time to think as I'm pacing in the middle of the night. I have complained a lot to the Lord. And what has He said? Scott, I'm giving you this as a gift so that you will desire me more. So that you will depend upon me more. So that you will turn your neck to me more, so that I can have all of you. It is the Lord's love for us that gets us through our suffering. Amen? Nothing else. Nothing else will get us through our suffering. And so I believe the psalmist gives us 5 reasons why we can trust the Lord. 5 reasons why we can turn from staring and fixating on this to turn and staring and fixating on Him. The first is that the Lord is with us. Folks, do you believe that the Lord is with you? Always? In verse 8, we read, it is better to take refuge in the Lord. I'm sorry, I skipped verse 5. Out of my distress, out of my misery, out of dire straits is the visual. Not the rock band, but the walls crushing in on you. Out of my distress, I called to the Lord. And we know the Lord is who? Revealed to us as Jesus Christ. Out of my distress, I called out to the Lord. Folks, who are you calling out to in your misery? Who are you calling out to in your frustration? In your grief? I called out to the Lord, and guess what? The Lord answered me, and He set me free. He set me free. He set us free from what? The distress. Didn't say that He was set free from His enemies, but that internal distress, the Lord stepped in. Why? Because the Lord is on my side. It literally is the Lord is with me. Literally, the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me as my helper. It's emphatic in the Hebrew, I will look in triumph on those who hate me. I will stop looking at my enemies as if they have power over me, but I will turn and I will look at the victor. Amen, folks? You can say it. The Lord is with me. He's definitely not against me. And He's definitely with me. Matthew 28:20. These are Jesus' last words to us, folks. We have this confidence. We have this assurance that we've not been abandoned in the midst of our suffering. Isn't that good news? You're not alone. He is with you. As you struggle in the room of your house, He's with you. As you struggle in that office environment, guess what? He's with you. As you're having a crisis within your car, driving to wherever, doubting, afraid, fearing, guess what? He is with you. When you're having that argument with your child, guess what? He's with you and He's with your child. The Lord is with us. And that should encourage us. The Lord's steadfast love. How does He love us? He's always with us. Second, the Lord is our refuge. Verse 8, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Do you believe that? It is better to take refuge in the Lord than in your mom or dad. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than your spouse. The Lord is our refuge. Why should we trust men? We know what men are. We know what's in the heart of every man. But the Lord is good. And the Lord loves us. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Guys, whether it's just some dude or whether it's some important dude, doesn't matter. You know, some of us get all worked up about politics and stuff. Guess what? It doesn't matter. Whoever's president, doesn't matter because God is king. God trumps Trump. Right? But some of us read the news and we get all worked up about the president, about Congress, about the Republicans, against the Democrats. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes, leaders, important people. Third, give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because He is our deliverer. Because He delivers us. In verse 10, we read, all nations surrounded me. Have you ever felt like just everyone is out to get you? Has it ever been that bad? Where it's not just one person, but it's everything? Not just a person, not just people, but maybe your health, maybe your job. And it's just snowballing. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. Dawn, they surrounded me like bees. Sorry, I gotta make fun of Dawn. He sent me a video a while back. He's driving in his truck and there's bees everywhere inside his cab. And he's driving because he was relocating a hive. And it got into his truck and he's just driving and filming it. And you're crazy. But they surrounded me like bees. Incessant, buzzing, stinging, in and out. So small and so fast, you can't catch one. Or, you know, you don't even want to touch one because then they're all going to get you at that point, right? So it doesn't matter if it's big or if it's a lot of little things. They went out like a fire among thorns. The imagery is just a quick fire that just bursts into combustion. And, you know, the thorns being just kindling and... But what? In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but emphatic in the Hebrew, emphasized in the Hebrew, the Lord helped me. Folks, we give thanks to the Lord in our misery. We give thanks to the Lord in our suffering because He delivers us. Amen? He delivers us. You know, He steps in the gap. Now, He doesn't always do it right away. And there is sometimes He doesn't fully deliver us and He lets us experience some pain for a while. But here's the good news, folks. The Lord is for us. He's not just our refuge, but He's also our deliverer. He's also our warrior. He fights on our behalf. We know He's with us. And we can hide in Him, but we can also trust that He's going to fight for us. We don't have to fight. You know, when you look at Ephesians 6 and the armor of God, it's stand. 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 And you know what the only offensive weapon is in Ephesians 6? There's actually two, but one is the sword, which is God's Word. I cut them off. In the name of the Lord. And to prayer. But the good news is the Lord isn't just with us and He is not just our refuge, but He fights for us. Exodus 15:3. Did you ever know that this was in the Bible? The Lord is a warrior. Now that's just awesome. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is His name. He fights for us. He's jealous of His people, and He's going to fight for us. We are His bride, and He's the groom who's going to stand up and fight for His bride. Proverbs 21:31, the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory belongs to who, folks? The Lord. We don't trust in chariots. We trust in the Lord. He is our warrior. He goes before us. And what we do is we claim Jesus Christ. We claim His work that He's going to do. We trust in His name. When we're pushed hard, when we're falling, when we're surrounded, we turn to the Lord to help us. Number four, give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because He's our strength. Because, folks, again, sometimes, you know, He makes us endure through the suffering. He fights for us. But often, He allows us to suffer. He, should I be so bold as to say, causes our suffering sometimes? Oh, that's offensive, Scott. Read your Bible. But in the midst of our suffering, we can also give thanks because the Lord is our strength. The Lord is my strength, verse 14, and my song. I can sing a song of joy in the midst of my suffering because He's my strength, because He gives me strength. I can turn from this and I can turn to Him and choose to worship Him. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. How? Because I trusted in Him. Because I let Him do the work. Past tense, He became it. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The righteous hand of the Lord does valiantly. The righteous... I hate this. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. So just look at that verse 16. He exalts. He lifts us up. It's kind of a word, you know, weird word, exalt. But He lifts us up. He does that. In the midst of our suffering, what does He do? He lifts us up. He gives us the strength to endure. He keeps us going through the empowerment of His strength. But what do you and I do often? We try to get through the crisis. We try to steer through the problem. We try to endure through the suffering. How? In our own strength. Don't we? We just white knuckle it. We're going to get through it. But no, guys, the Lord is our strength. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. Sometimes it feels like we're going to die. Right? My kids suffer all the time. You know, they're like, Dad, I'm starving. I'm starving. When's dinner going to be ready? One of them does that. But we will not die. Yet, we shall live. And as we live, we shall remember. We shall count. We shall calculate the deeds of the Lord. What gets us through the heartache? What gets us through the hurt? What gets us through the trial? It's remembering what the Lord has done for us in the past. We got to remember. We got to remember how good He is, how strong He is. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but He has not given me over to death. Hebrews 12:6, for the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises every son whom He receives. If you're a son of God, if you're a daughter of God, guess what? There's going to be seasons. There's going to be seasons where you're going to suffer. And the Lord is going to either allow that suffering or bring that suffering for your good. To discipline you, to form you, to shape you. And so that's why I can tell you at the front end of this that the Lord said to me, Scott, this is a gift. The suffering is a gift for you so that you might trust me more. How about you? Have you looked at your suffering as a gift? That suffering is one of the main ways in which people are transformed. Because when you come through the suffering, you're different. Right? If any of you have lost a loved one, lost an important position, experienced great physical pain or disease, you come through it, you're changed. You're different. You're never the same. So will you see that the Lord is doing something in you? And as He does that work, He will strengthen your spirit. The last one here, guys, number five, is that we should give thanks to the Lord because He's our salvation. This is the ultimate reason why you and I can and should give thanks in the midst of our suffering. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is our salvation. Verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness. I don't know why, but that just sounds so comforting. I get the chills reading that. Open up the gates of righteousness. You know why? Because I'm not righteous. But the Lord is, and in His extreme mercy, He has opened up the gates so that I can come into His presence. In the Lord's infinite mercy, folks, He has removed the wall of separation between man and God. He has opened up the gates for sinful people. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a temple, and there's three parts, and you know, everyone could kind of go in the outer, but you know, only men could go into the inner, and only Jewish men could go into the inner. Isn't that sexist, ladies? Complain to God. But what's the point? Only a few could go into the inner gate. And then when you get into the very center, which is the Holy of Holies, how many people could go into that? One man, one priest, one high priest, once a year. Well, what did Jesus do? Jesus entered into the Holy Holies. Jesus, as our great mediator, as our great high priest, went into the Holy of Holies. He tore the veil. He tore down that wall. And now He's the gate. We enter into the Holy of Holies. We enter into His righteousness and then into the presence of the Father through Christ. This is the gate of the Lord. Jesus is God's gift to us that we might enter in to the presence of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. We're not righteous, but He is righteous, and His work on the cross has made us righteous. I thank You that You have answered me and have become my salvation. Do you notice the shift? So it's so personal. It's now I. It's now me. It's now You. The Lord has done this for each of us. I thank You that You have answered me and have become my salvation. Give thanks to the Lord, for He has saved us from our sin. He has redeemed us from our slavery. He has reconciled us to Himself. Verse 22, this verse 22 is found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, Acts, Ephesians, and 1 Peter. It's an important verse. What does it say? It speaks of the one who has done this work for us. The stone, that is Jesus Christ. The rock. The stone that the builders rejected. The stone that the builders tacked to a cross, belittled, spit upon, rejected, has become the cornerstone. He has become the foundation of our faith. He has become the foundation of our salvation. It is in Christ that this new house has been built. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. That word marvelous is just, it's unexplainable. It's incomprehensible that God Himself would sacrifice Himself to redeem a pathetic bunch of dweebs like us. To redeem a hard-hearted, rebellious lot like ourselves. It's marvelous in our eyes. It should be. Folks, how has your worship been? You got your worship on? Has your worship been intimate and abundant and deep? Could it be, if it's not, could it be that salvation is just not marvelous to you anymore? That we've forgotten the utter miracle that regeneration is? The utter mercy that our salvation is? Have we forgotten what the Lord did? What He gave up for us? This is the Lord's doing, folks. Another point. It's not ours, right? The only thing we've contributed to our salvation is our need. The Lord has done this for us. And therefore, He deserves all the glory. And so this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Do you remember singing that old song? Are we smiling? Are our hearts lifted up at these words? Do we know what it means to rejoice? This is something, I'll tell you, you know this about me. You know, this is something I struggle with. I'm always so serious and somber and stoic and focused, and my mind's just always... And yet the Lord's calling me to repent. Where's the joy, Scott? This is the Lord's doing, folks. What are you struggling with? What's prohibiting you, preventing you from rejoicing? What's getting in the way? What's the obstacle that's getting in the way of your abundant, joyful praise of the Lord Jesus Christ? Whatever that is, we need to cast that down. We need to renounce it and turn to Christ. Is it because you're an introvert? That is the lamest excuse in the world. Because I'm an introvert. Is it pride? Is the mask you're wearing the fear that someone's going to find out that you're a sinner too? The pride that someone's going to find out you struggle? Heaven forbid. But we are God's people. Called together. To be honest and open and vulnerable and bear one another's burdens and do life with one another. And that right there, as we do, that testifies to His grace. It showcases the gospel to the outside world. That we can come in here and not wear masks, but we can choose to confess and be open with one another. So you have to... Healing, transformation, / healing. To get to this side, I firmly believe this is healing. This represents healing, this side of the stage. Health. To get to health, you must confess. You must stare at the problem and confess it. Renounce it and then give it to the Lord. And trust that He will heal you. We do this together. We walk in. We're honest with one another. We're honest with the Lord. We complain a little bit. But by the end of the service, on Sunday morning, we should be over here trusting again. Let us rejoice, folks, and let's be glad in this. Amen? Let's choose. Let's choose to confess and to trust. And so save us, we pray. O Lord, we pray, give us success. That doesn't mean money. Doesn't mean wealth. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Again, another famous biblical quote, Matthew 21:9. The crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We follow his train. We don't get in front of him. We follow his lead. For the Lord is God. For God is Lord. For Jesus is Lord. And He has made His light to shine upon us. He's casted His light on us. We don't have to walk in darkness anymore, folks. He has done this. So bind the feastal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. This refers to the sacrifices and the festival in the Old Testament. But all the sacrifices point to who, folks? To Jesus. Hebrews 10:1. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, ever, ever, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. But guess what? Jesus has. Jesus has made perfect. Jesus has fulfilled the entire law. Jesus is the once for all sacrifice whose blood atones for our sin and brings reconciliation, brings peace with God. And so, how does the psalmist end? And how should you and I respond? In this knowledge of the Lord's chesed, His covenantal love, His steadfast love, the proclamation is, you are my God. Not this, not that. Not him, not her. But you are my God. And I will give thanks to you. You are my God. I will extol you. I'll exalt you. I'll lift you up. Not this. I'm done lifting this stuff up. I want to lift you up. My identity is not in my depression. My identity is not in my anger. My identity is not in my performance. My identity, and the list goes on and on. I'm not going to extol that anymore. I'm going to lift Him up. So give thanks to the Lord, folks. Why? He is good. Amen. And His love endures forever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise You this morning. Your Word is life. Your Word is truth. Your Word corrects us. Oh Lord, how we need Your Word and how we need to trust in Your Word. Lord, this morning, help us to just be honest. Help us to come to You and no one else with our fears, with our questions, with our problems, with our frustrations, with our hurts. Lord, help us to trust that You are with us. Lord, that You are our refuge. Lord, that You are our strong deliverer. Lord, that You are our strength and You are our salvation. Help us to see Your face once again, Lord. In Your great infinite mercy this morning, Lord, open our eyes to see Your majesty and Your glory. Lord, turn our necks in Your infinite kindness. Turn our necks to face You. Turn our hearts away from the worship of these other things, these other beliefs that we've committed ourselves to, Lord. Shine Your truth this morning. Shine Your truth to rule out and to cast out the deceit of these lies that we've been listening to. Lord, let us hear Your voice this morning and let us turn our ears to You. Help us to do this. That we would see Your beauty, Your glory, and trust You. And give thanks for a God who alone is worthy of all praise. May You be lifted up and glorified this morning. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.